Esther chapter 3. Well, I mentioned on Esther chapter 2 that Mordecai is a form of the word for Marduk, and I suggested that him and Esther were fairly secular Jews who had assimilated into Babylon, and Esther means star, which is what Marduk was, a star, and her Hebrew name, Hadassah, really means a myrtle, and the myrtle was a tree native to Persia, not to Israel. So the whole story is about God using weak, spiritually weak, secular people, and out of weakness making people strong. And we finished at the end of chapter 2 with the note that really, although the name of God never occurs in the whole book, clearly God is working here in a providential sort of way, just as he does with us today. Because this is not the age of miracles, it's the age of the Spirit working in this sort of indirect way. Because Mordecai busts a plot by Bigthan and Tudesh to kill the king, and the king's grateful to him but forgets to reward him. And I want to note that the characterization of the king throughout Esther is absolutely consistent. He takes 5 years to get married to Esther after he divorces Vashti, and the implication is that his courtiers kind of say, well, you do remember you did promise to marry another woman to replace Vashti. And he's sort of like, oh, yeah. But it's as if he's sort of so not serious about life. He's so caught up with himself that he just doesn't remember things. Mm-hmm. Maybe he really did have a memory problem, or maybe he just was not serious about his personal life. Likewise, he agrees here to wipe out the Jews, but surely he knew there were a lot of faithful Jews around. Jews faithful to him, I mean. Surely he knew that Mordecai was Jewish. Did he really not know that Esther was a Jewess? He had forgotten to reward Mordecai for saving his life. He seems to give in to these ridiculous requests from Haman rather easily. And you also wonder whether a lot of these requests were made when he was drunk, and he did things when he was drunk. We keep on reading throughout the record of him drinking. Got it here, the end of chapter 3, King and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Shushan was perplexed. Likewise with the banquets of wine that Esther sets up for him. He clearly was drinking a lot, and you do wonder whether some of these decisions were made under the influence. But anyway, the characterization, that's my point, is consistent. And it's those internal rings of truth within the biblical record which personally encourage me more than anything that this is the word of God, especially when you compare contemporary literature written at the time in other nations, etc. They lack that sort of thing. It's all dramatic, obviously exaggerated stories of human greatness, etc. There's nothing of this nature with this internally consistent harmonization, which is, I think, another example of how faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, rather than sort of propping up faith through science, so-called archaeology, prophecy, and so forth, and then coming to the Bible in faith. Well, the Jews didn't stay long sitting by the rivers of Babylon. There we sat down and there we wept, but they didn't stay there for long. The real reason why they didn't respond to the opportunity to return to the land was, I think, because they become wealthy in Babylon and then Persia. You can see here's Mordecai working for the king, and Haman offers this huge amount of money to the king if they kill the Jews, because clearly the Jews are wealthy, and if they literally killed all the Jews, then all that money was going to be available. This is a vast amount of money. So they became wealthy, and this is the problem. This is why people don't want to respond to the call to leave Babylon. And it's why the disenfranchised and the poor are more likely to respond. Come out of Babylon, lest you perish in her judgment. Flee Babylon. But, of course, they prefer to stay. Why do they do that? Because they were on a good thing, many of them. And that's why, for me, the book of Esther ends slightly sadly, that they were popular. The Jews end up popular, everybody likes them, etc., wealthy, etc. Well, that was not God's intention, really. He wanted them to go back to the land, but instead they stayed there and in the end assimilated most of them back into the world. You notice how when the command to kill all the Jews is sent out, it's sent out into all these different provinces, and it's translated into all these different languages. Well, that's what was done, because the Jews had truly been scattered all over the Persian Empire, the Babylonian and Persian Empire, all 127 provinces, scattered in different languages, in different language groups. And so, of course, the salvation of the Jews was intended to be a potential witness to people from all nations and languages. And the ideal intention was that although the fishers and hunters, as Jeremiah calls them, had been sent to hunt the Jews, they would return to the land with Gentiles with them, Gentile converts to Yahweh. Isaiah's got some wonderful passages about this. The intention of the restored kingdom was that all the Jews would come happily back to Zion with the Gentiles coming with them on their camels and their donkeys and so forth, bringing presents to Yahweh in the restored temple in Jerusalem. This was all what was potentially possible, but it didn't happen. And one simple reason it didn't happen was because the Jews were materially doing very well, thank you. This is the problem, you see, of wealth and of the soft life. It really is the problem. It stops us from responding to the message, and it stops a lot of people in the world responding as they should. So it sort of surprises me that there is even such a thing as a wealthy Christian. The thing is, God loves us, and he spoils us almost, just like he gave the prodigal son to start with what the guy wanted, although he knew he was going to waste it, misuse it. So let us be aware, that's all I can say, that all this is nonsense, that this is not our resting place, that our hearts should not be in here where we are, but in the things of God's kingdom.